come in.
Thank you very much.
He just said, can I get on and say it's great to hear AJ? I'm back in town. I'm like, yeah, can you do it quick? Yeah. And he lied.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate it.
So first bad idea was believing him. Second bad idea, we go to Ruth.
Wait. Uh-oh, okay. All right. So think back 2015, Super Bowl night. You're hanging out. You're with your friends. You're eating nachos, drinking beer. It's the Patriots versus the Seahawks. This is the year of Katy Perry and the Left Shark. Commercials come on. You're having a great time. And then you hear this.
Hey, wait! Buzz, wait!
I'll never learn to ride a bike. Or get coolies. I'll never learn to fly. Or travel the world with my best friend. And I won't ever get married. I couldn't grow up because I died from an accident.
Are those meatballs? Right?
At Nationwide, we believe in protecting what matters most. Well, your kids. Together, we can make safe happen.
So this is the infamous Nationwide Dead Boy commercial that aired back in 2015.
That.
Yeah, it just was the mood killer for the entire Super Bowl.
Mood killer.
So that commercial started with like a soft focus montage of a little boy, you know, with his puppy going on, you know, bike rides.
Doing kid things.
And then talking about all the things that he wouldn't be able to do because he died in an accident.
What's ironic is what happens when you do have an accident. They don't want to pay you anything.
Yeah.
No. Like you're right. Acting like the savior of children.
Right.
You're saying that's not covered. That's not covered. That's not covered. That's not covered. And right. Screw you. Take us to court. We're fighting you on that.
And the accident. Go ahead.
It should be nationwide, not open wide.
And then they show some of the accidents like in the commercial. Like they show a bathtub overflowing. They show a flat-screen TV, like, crashed on the ground. Like, they just show all these terrible things. I don't know how having Nationwide
like
will like prevent those things.
Like the kid drowned in the tub? Or what's the bathtub overflowing?
Yeah, like he drowned in the tub. Oof. So the whole thing was to promote...
So that was on the parents?
Yep. Yeah.
All right. What else did they show?
They showed a television, I guess, that wasn't mounted to the wall properly. That
parents
suggesting
again.
That it fell on top of the child and killed
okay,
him.
Okay, Nationwide going to protect us from bad parenting.
Right.
Yeah, well, it was all to promote this website they had called Make Safe Happen, which was like tips to protect your children. But it just came off so terribly. Immediately, social media erupted and people were complaining. They're like, I wanted touchdowns, not trauma. This ad just murdered the vibe harder than the kid, you know, and LD.
that's good. That's a good line.
We're not just on your side. We're inside your nightmares. And then of course, then all the memes started with the kid. And then it's like, I couldn't watch Katy Perry because I died in an accident. And there were all these memes.
I could watch them both.
Well, that almost makes you feel like, all right, not that bad.
One benefit.
So Nationwide, they just got a lot of backlash over this. They were accused of, you know, pandering to people. And
there's a mini movie here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a mini movie. It's the birth of the ad agency guy who came up with this. You see him born, and then you go through his whole life, and it's like, you know, his parents are at a cocktail party. Yeah, he's going to... You know, name an Ivy League school here.
Brown.
Yeah.
Brown. He's going to Brown. No. He's taking up, you know, communications or marketing.
Yes.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. No. He just graduated. My kid just graduated. And he goes, oh, he's working for a great firm.
Mm-hmm.
Working for a great firm.
Yeah. Madison Avenue.
Guess what? His ad has been picked by Nationwide for the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Ooh. We all have to watch.
That family gathers around. They're like, oh, man, you know, this is what we're, what game? I don't even know who's playing. My son's commercial's playing in the Super Bowl.
Great job, Caleb.
All right, here we go.
We're so happy for you.
Years of sacrifice.
Shh, everyone, here it comes.
Turn it up.
Because because I died from an accident.
Eh? Huh? Eh? That was all me!
Dad goes, get out!
Okay, son, this it's great. That's very good.
Oh, great job.
You guys just, you don't understand marketing. You just don't understand it.
Look at the time. I gotta get up tomorrow. Okay, no. Great. Great job, Jimmy. Great job. Great job.
Take the plate of food out of his hand.
Okay. You know what would have been a better commercial?
They got butt drugs.
Yeah.
They love butt drugs.
Genius.
And this is the dumb brother. No one ever thought would do anything. It's like, but your brother,
you know, killing it with the butt drugs.
The butt drugs. He killed it. And I want to talk to a champion over here. Oh, my God.
We are the champions of the world.
Jim Qualick, president, North Brantford Youth Football and Cheerleading. Good morning. Congratulations.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. So you guys won, what, 3 years in a row?
Well, yes, in our A division, there's in the league that we play in, there's three divisions. There's an A division, a B division, and a C division. This year, we won at all three divisions. But yes, over the past 3 years, we've won all 3 years in a row in the A division, too. So, yeah, we're moving up in the world.
And then was it the B division that won twice in 3 years?
Yes. Yes, the B division won in 2023 and 2025.
And what's going on with
But they also went there in 2024 as well. We also went to the championship. But we lost.
How close was that game?
No, not very close, to be honest with you.
All right, that's all right.
But
that's right. You were there.
Yeah.
You were there.
Exactly. I was there. Yeah. Yep.
Right.
Wow. And then the C division, what's going on with the C division?
Well, this is the first year we've ever had a championship in the C division, but definitely, you know, kind of moving up in the world, definitely had a lot more participation this year, which is fantastic. You know, a lot more kids. There was 22, 23 kids on the team this year, which is a good number for us, you know, especially after the past few years. So.
What is it about North Brantford where you're building all these championship teams?
I think it's just a culture that we're trying to, you know, establish. basically, we kind of preach family first. And, you know, basically all of our teams and all of our families and crew and everything like that, we've all turned into one big family. And it just makes us closer, makes us more, you know, likely to help each other out and, you know, pick each other up when we're down and just make things a lot better for us.
Now, do you have to play everyone?
Yes. Yes, okay. There's a 6-play limit, so every kid has to play. Yes.
Okay. Oh. All right.
I would have had a chance. I was X division.
You would have been in, AJ.
Right. Here, stand there and don't do anything stupid.
Yeah.
Linebacker. Inside linebacker.
Water boy, here.
That's great. And the parents must be great, too, right?
Oh, yeah, the parents are fantastic. They're the best in the state, honestly. They're very supportive. They're always there. They're cheering them on. Very positive. It's great.
Boy, I'm really excited for you. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is cheerleading a sport?
It is. It is. It's hard, you know, it definitely
I'm sorry.
Gets
I just,
downplay.
You know, I know, Jim, we've had this conversation on the air. I've gotten hammered, and I just kind of put that out there to see how you would respond to it.
Absolutely. Well, you know,
I've learned the hard way.
I'm a football guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a football guy. I grew up playing football and everything, but I have four daughters. So, you know, with that being said, each one of them had their stint at cheer, and it is difficult. I had one daughter that had three concussions because of cheer. So definitely got its, you know, ups and downs. And to be totally honest, our cheer program is doing great as well. They won our A division, won first place in the C2IFL cheer competition. Our B squad won third place and our C squad won fourth place. So we're, you know, not just football, but we're doing cheer as well. So things are going well there too.
Damn.
Jim Qualick is on, president, North Brantford Youth Football and Cheerleading. You get paid?
No, sir. I do not.
Wow. Is that unbelievable?
Wow.
You should win some, like, community service award.
I'm just saying, give
no,
me a
it's
check.
Not just me.
You and your people.
It's definitely not just me. We have 8 board members, 16 coaches, unlimited numbers of parents who volunteer their time all the time. It's just, you know, it's a total volunteer organization, and it's very well, you know, very well established, and everyone does a great job, and they're all very supportive.
Isn't this a great news story? Like, there's so many, like, you click on the headline, it's like, no, I don't like these stories. This is a great story. Someone should dig in on this.
They should.
Jim, congratulations to you, your staff, and the kids, the parents, the whole community.
Well deserved.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. You know what? When the next season starts, we'd like to have you come over and teach us how to throw footballs. Okay?
Yeah. That'd be great. That'd be great. But I was a lineman, so I'm probably not the best person to help you.
I used to catch a ball in my face.
All right. Good. Keep it up, AJ.
In the showers?
All right. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Is that amazing?
That's great.
Huge.
Should I get paid?
That's nice.
He should be.
Jim Qualick, president, North Brantford Youth Football and Cheerleader. Congratulations to all of them.
Yes.
Shelton used to have a dominating football team. The high school football team?
Yeah.
The Valley, man. It's like football heaven over there.
Yep.
All the fields, like you could drive through downtown and it's like, the hell happened here? And then you drive by the football field, you're like, oh, that's where the money went.
Right.
All the budget,
Hey, we do sure football. Nice. We do football right. here. Yeah. All the Thanksgiving games are coming up too.
So
we'll have to check in with all the mayors. Here's a Valley story. Not as great as the football story. Kind of the other end. This guy got ripped off. It's the great Pokemon heist of Seymour, Connecticut. On the phone right now is Dave. How do I say your last name?
Regalado.
Regalado. Dave Regalado, owner of Dr. Cards and Gaming, Main Street in Seymour. What happened?
I got broken into Tuesday morning, November 11th, just after midnight. Guys pried my door open, came in, smashed the display cases, and pulled out as much as they can out of the cases through the holes that they made with the glass, and took off with a lot of money worth of value of stuff from our store. Oh, wow.
How many people were there?
So the video shows exactly three, but there's possibly a fourth outside in the car.
That's a heist. It's a real heist.
Yep. Orchestrated.
Yeah, definitely planned.
It's right up there with the Louvre.
Yeah. It's Ocean's 13.
It was planned. It was a planned robbery. Yeah. Three to four people. They knew exactly where to go. They cased your store. Have you been looking through like old footage to see if you could see them casing it?
Yeah, we have, the thing is, like, we have a lot of people that come in, just normally that come in, they're interested, they're just like, hey, you know, what's the most expensive card you have, or what's the most thing you ever sold, biggest thing you ever sold, because there's a lot of value in this stuff, or they'll be like, hey, what's the most expensive card you've ever had someone bring in, so it's hard to kind of narrow down one person. I kind of hate those questions, to be honest, when people walk in and ask that. It kind of always throws me off. But, I've checked some videos, but it's hard. They were wearing masks. They had gloves. It looked like all dark clothing. So it's really hard. Since they did it at night, obviously I don't have lights on in the store. So it's really, really hard to kind of track down one person, unfortunately, for us.
Well, you got a good police department there. I know a lot of the detectives and... I know the chief, and are they on top of this?
Yeah. I trust Seymour PD. I believe that they're doing what they can to get it solved.
How much? The valuable car. What was the take here? What do you think you lost?
It was anywhere between 9,000 and 12,000.
Damn.
Yeah, and eight to nine guaranteed. The problem is a lot of the stuff. It's kind of like a pawn shop, except we move things. Just as fast.
Some of this stuff belonged to other people.
Well, no. So not like a pawn shop, as in like someone pawned it to us and they pay it off and then they get it back. More like a lot of people daily come in and just sell their collections or trade stuff in. Or they'll literally come in, they'll spend a few bucks on a pack and pull like the chase hit, you know, something like $800 card. Many times people have opened.
What was the most valuable card that was taken? Single card.
I think the most expensive one was right around $550 by itself.
$550?
Wow.
Yeah, one single card.
What was that? Because Vince Barry is here. He's a Pokemon nerd.
I got a lot of cards.
So it was a...
Maybe it was Vince.
Yeah,
it was a revive.
How many cards did you have last week, and how many do you have now, Vince?
I got about 10 or 12 more now, buddy. No. Wasn't me.
Just kidding, Dave. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're kidding. So it was the one card that I know for sure was taken was a Wheel of Torture, Wheel of Fortune, revised. It was in really good shape. It was a card I had just taken in.
Vince, you know that card?
Oh, that's from Magic the Gathering. That's a rough one to get. Oh, no.
When nerds speak.
You're scaring me, Vince.
Dude, as soon as he said the title, my heart sank. That's
really?
That's a $600 to $1,000 card.
Why is that?
This one wasn't in the best condition, but it was one that's still playable condition that people still buy. It was one that I took in literally a couple days before it happened.
And, they knew.
I checked with one of my employees. I checked with a couple of employees that worked between when I took it in and when it was taken, and neither one of them sold it. So that's one that is guaranteed left. And that's the problem is that like people would come in, bring stuff in, and because it moves so fast, I take it in, I throw it in a new sleeve, condition it, put it in the case, and it pretty much goes just as fast sometimes.
Do you think it's possible that someone went there, sold you cards, and then came back and robbed you?
Oh, took them back? Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is very, that is definitely very possible. They took both Magic and Pokemon from us, so.
What's that, Vince, translate?
There's two different card games that they stole cards from. Pokemon, which is the video game, and then Magic the Gathering, which is like the old school OG card game from like the early 90s to today. Yeah, it's still going on today, but the more valuable cards are from the early 90s.
Oh, man.
Huh.
Wow, what a drag. Are you insured?
We are, but this kind of thing, it's tough to prove insurance what we have. Like
they never give you what...
Yeah.
You lost.
Yeah, and they want to see costs on this stuff, which this stuff, like I said, people trade in, you just get instant store credit value. So it's tough to show. You know, I can show costs on like the booster packs and the boxes and stuff like that. But as far as the singles, that stuff's really really tough to show proof of.
And what do you do? Like, where do you go to try to find these things? They could be anywhere, right? They could go online. They could be sold in the black market.
Yeah, so I used to do a lot of the online hunting. I think we've gotten big enough now where daily I get three or four people that will come in usually and just sell us stuff, whether they found it in the store, they found it on Marketplace, stuff they've been holding for a while. They'll come in, I'll cut them a give them a value. If they accept the value, I give them a check, and they move on their way.
Yeah.
And then I just turn around and kind of like, throw it in my case, sell it. I know I have people that are looking for certain cards kind of thing. It's a,
hey,
it's
Dave,
a pretty big hobby right now.
Hold on one second. Derek?
Yes?
Go ahead. You're on with Dave.
Hi, I work at a tire shop, Dave. And the other day, I'm not sure the date, as I said before to the guy I spoke to on the phone. This guy came in for an oil change or something, and the back seat of his car was filled with Pokemon boxes and plush toys covered up with a moving blanket.
Okay. Definitely.
Did they take the stuff in boxes, or were they separate, Dave?
There were a few boxes of stuff to tip, yes.
Oh, man.
This was all the same box, but there was an assload of them in the back of the
Okay,
car.
Let's not give too many details, but I'm going to connect you two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
All right. Derek, hold on a second. We'll grab your number. We'll get it to Dave, and who knows?
Yeah.
You know, I would say, what dumbass would like rob a store and then bring the car with the stuff in the back to a tire shop? But we're about to do dumbass news, and we highlight these people in the segment.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me, yeah.
So, all right, man, sorry to hear this. You're just a dude trying to make a living, and, people got to rob you. It's a drag.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
All right, I hope you get some resolution. You got a good police department working on it. So, Dave, thank you. And you know what? A good thing to do, like if you feel for this guy, is you go there, you buy someone a holiday gift from this store.
Yeah.
Dr. Cards and Gaming, Main Street and Seymour. All right, thank you, Dave. Keep us posted.
All right, thank you guys for the opportunity.
All right, man.
Oh, boy, it's time for Dumbass News. It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
99.1 PLR.
Dumbass.
Look, it's AJ.
Hey, kids, where are those Pokemon cards? Come on. I know you took them.
They did it. Guilty.
I took a Pikachu.
Sierra and Southington wanted to know if we could say hi to John. He listened to Chaz and AJ all the time, and he loved Dumbass News.
Oh.
And what, he passed a year ago?
Yeah, I guess they used to listen together, actually. So she called in, and she was like, oh, I'm so happy to hear, you know, that you guys are still doing this, and we love Dumbass News.
Was she rolling to town for Thanksgiving or something?
I guess, yeah. She must have, yeah, she was like, yeah, let's just see what's going on. She's like, oh, great. So she called in. She was very excited.
Nice.
I was asking her a little bit about that, and she shared that. I thought it might be nice to just say hi.
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah.
Hey, John, wherever you are.
John.
And thank you, Sierra. Great memory.
Yes.
All right. A Detroit man climbs on top of a car, screams when a loose goat approaches him. It was a runaway goat in Detroit, in a Detroit neighborhood. But it's the girl-like scream of Daylon Scott that has people amused. They were caught on camera as he jumped on a car's roof to avoid the sizable horned goat named Smoke.
Smoke.
Smoke jumped the neighbor's fence. Do we have the news report or the... Yep, here's the news report.
A goat's great escape, capturing lots of attention and even some fear on Detroit's west side.
A now viral video shows the moment the goat met a neighbor. Look at this.
He sounds like the screaming goats.
Right.
It sounds like my proctology exam.
It sounds like the goat in the Taylor Swift song.
Yeah.
Yes.
They call it the screaming goats.
Yeah.
Yep. Is that the neighbor or the goat? It's tough to tell. A tough first meeting, but the pair is now getting along great.
Yeah, 7 News Detroit reporter Megan Daniels reunited the neighbors and spoke with the goat's owner, who's now facing legal issues as a result.
One very misbehaving goat is in hot water after spending the day causing chaos up and down the block on Detroit's west side.
They're very calming for people, not necessarily him.
Robert Pizzamenti is the owner of the four.
A real life
wow.
goat.
It's a real life goat.
This is a real life goat.
And he lives outside of Detroit, so.
Yeah, you wouldn't think Detroit and goat.
No.
No, no.
Although also, named Smoke.
You also yeah. wouldn't think someone would be that freaked out over a goat, you know?
Right.
Try yeah. driving through Detroit if you're not in a tank.
Right. Then you're screaming, ah!
Right. That would scare me.
Oh, my God!
All the things he's seen throughout the day, the thing that freaked him out the most was like a 50-pound
exactly.
animal.
The thing that's not supposed to be there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I you know, I can't even hit that note.
No, it's yeah. tough.
Fairly him.
It's a real life goat!
Goat! Goat!
Can you hit that, AJ? You can.
You did.
Yes, I can.
That was good.
Yeah. That's my shower.
AJ, look,
cold.
Young kids. All right.
Identical.
Yeah, Robert Pizzamenti is the owner of the four-legged troublemaker. The goat called Smoke escaped by hopping the fence and taking himself on a self-guided tour of the neighborhood, where he met Daylon Scott down the block.
I saw go outside. I'm like,
what?
Okay, okay.
So I go outside.
Oh.
Yeah, but it was like okay, kind of all you, one syllable. So I go outside.
My favorite one syllable band, so I go outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I go outside. I'm like, okay, okay. I start, bap, bap, bap. And then as soon as you see Mr. Bob here come out of nowhere.
Mr. Bob? Yeah, I guess he didn't know the...
Right.
He didn't know the... I don't know. Right.
I was doing all that, but worse. I don't want him to rock around. He actually hopped the fence. That wasn't the idea.
This is the owner now. She didn't introduce the two different people, but this is a separate interview now with the owner of the goat.
him to rock around. He actually hopped the fence. That wasn't the idea. I do need to keep him contained.
According to court records, Wednesday's escapade prompted the city to cite Smoke's owner with possessing a wild animal without a permit inside the city. Pizzamenti tells me he's hoping the city of Detroit will reconsider and see the value these four-legged animals can bring to the community. It's important to note that court records also show a history of problems with his animals.
She's whispering because she doesn't want her camera stolen in Detroit, but yet they're giving him a ticket for having an animal. Crack houses, wild gangs, prostitution. Oh, you have a goat ticket.
We can handle this one.
If Detroiters were allowed to farm and garden the way many of us want to, we could have the most unique city on the planet.
Others on the block.
Okay, like, here we go.
I don't know it's pronounced that way. Fireman garden.
We're going to grow weed.
Where are these people from?
Right. Yeah, I can't pick a country out from that accent. It went like four or five different places.
Detroiters were allowed to farm and garden.
Fireman garden?
Dutch?
Yeah, it sounds a little Dutch. Sounds Norwegian.
I like to farm in my clogs, yeah.
I got the goat.
We could have the most unique city on the planet.
Others on the
remember they were doing that in Bridgeport. Was it Mayor Finch?
Chickens.
Yeah, with the chickens.
With the chickens.
Oh yeah,
he was trying to do the farming in Bridgeport. I'm like, oh my god, it's over.
We gotta let the Bridgeporters farm, yeah.
Farm
with the chickens and pigs.
Bridgeport. Right.
Important to the ecosystem, eh? I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea. I don't know how to describe what this is.
I think it's great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right.
Others on the block, like Maya Campbell, say they appreciate the agricultural diversity in the city.
I do recognize there are lots of urban farms, and there are people who have goats, chickens, all sorts of animals, which is a beautiful thing for our community.
What up, buddy? How you doing today?
In meeting Smoke Monday on friendly terms, Dalen tells me next time he sees the goat on the street, he knows exactly what to do.
It would be cool. I know where to take him. So if anybody do see him in the neighborhood.
On the city's west side, Megan Daniels, 7 News, Detroit.
They look all cute and cuddly, but they do get aggressive.
Okay, so you don't want that smoke.
No, turn it to the...
Can we get that scream again?
It's got smoke.
You know what that sounds like? It sounds like he's getting waxed.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, hold on.
Yes.
It's like a 40-year-old virgin.
This is a wild story of how a person met their future spouse. And if you want to call in the weird place you met your spouse or other half, 203-882-9757. Two teenagers. One was injured in a football accident. Another was injured in a car accident. They both end up in the IC unit, the same hospital. The mother of the girl was watching television, and there was a news report on the kid with the football accident down the hall.
Oh, wow.
So she goes down the hall, and when the kid comes out of it, he starts talking to her, asking for advice on just his experience and just needed someone to talk to.
Yeah.
The daughter comes out of it, and then the mother introduces the daughter to the dude. They become friends. 6 years later, they're engaged.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Is that amazing?
Yes.
Bizarre, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Wild.
They're both in hospital beds down the hall from one another in comas. Don't know if they're ever coming out. They wake up. They meet.
They talk to each other. Yeah.
Talk to each other and then get married.
I love it.
Got to have common interests.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, they have a lot to talk about.
A bit of time?
No.
Who are you?
But I thought that might be a fun kind of phone subject. Like the odd place you met your other half, 203-882-9757. And we got this story. Couples meet in the YMCA pool. Then they get married in the YMCA pool.
Wow.
An 82-year-old man and a 78-year-old woman from Illinois tied the knot in the YMCA pool. Do we have a news story on this? Yeah.
I took her on my first date December 5th, 23. And I asked her to marry me in like August of that year. And she waited until this year to give me an answer.
That answer was yes. But where and when to tie the knot? Well, the aquatics director had a suggestion.
But I went up to them and I said, hey, you guys met in the pool. You should get married in the pool. And I can marry you because I have a minister license. And I didn't think they would take me seriously.
But this week, Ed and Marlene walked down the aisle and into the pool.
Well, this happened to Ed and Marlene, and so here we are.
For a wedding in the water.
Ed, do you take Marlene to be your lawfully wedded wife?
Taking the plunge in front of their friends and family. Oh, and of course, a lifeguard.
I now pronounce you husband and wife.
Wow. All right, so two people met a hospital room apart. They were both, in comas.
Yeah.
And then two people met in a swimming pool and then got married in a swimming pool.
Wow.
The exchanging of the pool noodles was really beautiful.
You know,
It was. In the Baby Ruth bar.
I don't know. I want that water tested after you have a bunch of 82-year-olds and 78-year-olds in the water for a long period of time.
It was a double ring ceremony. Ring around the pool.
So we're asking you to call in the odd place you met your other half, TJ Rocky Hill.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Morning.
Good, good. It's a theory about these two at the hospital. I have a near-death experience myself, and I think these two, they're so close to death that their spirits kind of wandered throughout the halls and kind of met up, so that when they woke up, they were completely familiar with each other.
You think that's what? Oh. All right. Well, what happened to you?
I had a bad back injury that kind of went catastrophic. My duodenum ruptured. I had 1 hour from death, and I also kind of went into my afterlife. My own.
How did you know you were 1 hour? Did the Reaper like point at his watch, like, get it done because I'm coming back?
Back in 1 hour.
See you in an hour.
Now,
yes.
When my surgeon woke up, he's like, "Dude, we almost lost you. You're an hour out."
Wow.
Whoa. That's not what I want to hear when I wake up. But okay.
No.
Yeah. But it's not about me. It's more about these two. It's a beautiful concept if you think about it, because they were both in the same hospital, right? And I think they were so close to death that their spirits kind of wandered and kind of met on the other side. And so when they both woke up, they're like, "Oh shit, I know who you are."
You mean, oh crap?
You can't really process that, right?
Right.
Right. Anyway, it's just my theory.
Okay, no, it's a great theory. It's a wild story that they were in the hospital, both with traumatic brain injuries. Both in comas.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
They
that's
both come out of
right
it
there.
Right around the same time, meet, and then get married. It's wild.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Beautiful. But right. Anyway, I met my wife at Guns N' Roses, so that was cool, too.
Okay, that's cool.
That's weird. Okay.
Love you guys.
All right, love you too, man. Thank you. Oh, that's a pretty cool place to meet your wife. Guns N' Roses concert.
You know she likes the music.
Rory and Morris.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
All right.
So, I was actually in a coma, too. And I was the same hospital as those two.
Wow.
And let me tell you, we were together, shared coma experience. And the whole time, these guys, I was third wheeling with them.
So, literally, it was a little bit of a threesome.
Right.
It was a little bit of a threesome. Me on the sideline. And let me tell you, you don't want to be stuck in a coma as the third wheel.
No, you don't. It's
no
weird.
Fun.
They keep falling asleep.
And why were you the third wheel? Did you arrive to the coma party late?
I think I got... Well, I was there first, but I don't know. I was a little too young. I don't think I piqued her interest.
Okay.
Oh, you're out of it, yeah.
She looked at you like,
I was out of the league. That's why I was on the lower floor, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Little kids.
Right. Yeah. What happened to your brain?
What happened? Well, I had one of those Andrew Cuomos.
What is
Andrew Cuomo's? Yeah, elaborate.
Wait, we're talking about comas. I had the Cuomo disorder in the brain.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Right now, we're asking you to call in the odd way you met the other half. 203-882-9757. Lori in Stratford.
Hi, guys. How are you this morning?
Good, thank you.
Hello.
So my husband and I, this is my second marriage. So we were both married before. It was back in the 80s. We had both worked for the same company. We worked in the same company for like 20 years. Never, ever saw each other in the hallways. Ironically enough, we both camped with our first families at the same campground for those 20 years. Never, ever saw each other. And then I had gotten divorced, and we were all camping, and we were both in the hot tub together. And he says, yeah, you look a little familiar to me. So we got talking and realized we had been camping there at the same time and working at the same company, blah, blah, blah. So a whole nother year went by, and in that year, he got divorced. And we ran into each other in the hallway. And he asked me out for a cup of coffee, and we blended our... We've been married now for 25 years, have six kids.
Wow. Six total.
Wow. Six total. We each had three when we blended our family.
Okay, so you didn't have any kids together.
You're the Brady Bunch.
Oh, hell no.
Hell no. That was
No. That was
hell.
Enough.
Hell no. No, six, we're good.
Right. Six, we're good. We have three boys and three girls, and they're all like the same ages. So our daughters are the same age, our middle sons are the same age, and then our younger two are like 2 years apart.
Wow. They could date. Just kidding.
And then Anne B. Davis plays Alice.
Exactly.
Yeah, you do have the Brady Bunch.
You're the Brady Bunch.
We do. And so when we got married, my brother was doing the music, and he wrote a song with the Brady Bunch tune, but affiliated with our story.
Do you still have it?
Probably. It's on a CD somewhere.
We need it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
We need it.
When is your anniversary?
February 17th.
All right, it's coming up.
There's time.
We'll do it on your anniversary.
Yeah, fine.
Oh, my God, it's hilarious. I will see if I could find it, and I will send it to you.
I love all of this.
Look where you threw it.
it's been a rough ride trying to blend the families together because they were kids and teenagers. But we did it, and they're all out of the house now, and Woo-hoo! We are enjoying life. And he might be listening, so hey, Billy, good morning.
Billy. Nice job, Billy.
Fun to see you, Billy.
So was he in the hot tub with his then wife when he
said to you, this is what he tells me. He says, so he was in the hot tub with other guys that he was camping there with. And I came in, listen, I'm not like bragging or anything, but I guess I was walking towards the pool and I was like, hey, look at this one or something like that. And I guess that opened the door for them to start talking to me. It was just really weird. And then to go a whole nother year.
Did you get in a hot tub with a bunch of strange men?
I did.
Wow. Good for you.
It was a hot tub, right?
Life is short.
Life is short.
I was divorced. I'd been divorced for, I don't know, like 5 years maybe at that point. So, yeah, I was, you know, looking for a significant other. But I had never, ever expected that. You know, and then we went out for coffee. He's funny because after his divorce, he'd been dating and would take women out to dinner and realize in the first 5 minutes, oh, this isn't working.
That's how it happens. It happens very fast.
Right.
So by the time he got to, you know, asking me out, it was just coffee. All I got was coffee. But we sat there for like 3 hours.
I think you won in the end. The coffee's irrelevant at this
point.
Yeah,
no, he knew. It's like, let me just do coffee because if I feel it in the first five, it's just a cup of coffee. Okay, and that first date with the coffee, that was your last first date.
It was our last first date. So that was in August. And then in the Friday, that November, the Friday before Thanksgiving, he proposed. And we were married that February. So we only were together for 6 months before we got married.
It doesn't take long.
Yeah.
I think you know when you know. You know when you know. We both had been married before, had kids. We knew what we wanted. And we had a lot in common. And, you know, our families were a little like, you sure? It's only been 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're sure.
I got that with Jennifer. I mean, I fell immediately. And I was like moving her stuff into my house immediately. And I was like, that was my last first date. People, I would just see the polite smile. That's nice. I know what they're thinking. You know when you know. Like when there's red flags, there's no questions. But the hook here is the headline is you met your other half by getting into a hot tub full of strange men.
Yes.
That I won't see that on the Brady Bunch.
That was a gamble. That was a gamble.
That on the Brady Bunch.
It was a gamble that paid off. All right, so we're going to get this song, and then on February 17th, we're going to, you know, talk this
up. I'm going to try to find it, and I'll somehow contact you. I live in Stratford, so I could always drop it off.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to get your number. Thank you, Lori. Great story, by the way.
Wow.
The Odd Way You Met Your Other Half, Gigi in Southington.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
So I met my guy through an open mic because we're both musicians.
That's great.
Wow.
Yes. I play drums. I've been playing drums for over 30 years. I'm in a band. And then my guy, Ted, he's in a band also.
What does he play?
He plays bass and he sings.
Oh, you're the rhythm section.
The rhythm section.
Yeah.
In the pocket, baby.
In the pocket.
You must be very good because there's nothing worse than living with a bad drummer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I've been told I'm a good timekeeper. You know, nothing crazy with all the tricks and this and that.
You don't need that. You don't need that.
That means a lot, though. Yeah.
You got to service the song. You're not there to be Neil Peart.
No, you know she's good.
But I'm a rock drummer. You know, I get up there and sometimes people are like, oh my God, a girl, and it's like girls have been playing drums since the 20s. People just don't realize it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know. So we were actually with other people at the time, and then maybe about a year later, he messaged me on Facebook. So that's how we met.
Oh.
And it was really sweet, actually.
And how did he message
you? He said, looking for drummer.
Did he say he wanted to, like, right. Did he say he wanted to jam?
No, we were just, like, interested in each other just because, you know, interests and attraction kind of a thing. Actually, when I saw who it was, I didn't remember him, I'm sorry to say, but he remembered me from the open mic. It was, like I said, it was like a year later. We actually met through mutual friends first. So that was nice.
Wow.
And how long have you been together?
5 years.
And are you playing still in a band?
excuse me. I just started up with another band, so we're pretty new right now, just new players.
You're playing with another bass player.
It's the wedding band.
Yes. I am. We're all female though.
Oh,
we're trying to get something going. It's hard. It's hard to get the right fit, but not giving up. We're working at it.
You can't give up.
No, never, ever.
Are you playing originals or covers?
Covers.
Like what?
Angry
like Hailstorm, like Spirit Box.
Cool.
Heavier kind of stuff. And classic rock, like good classic rock, like Dio and, you know, Ozzy and Sabbath, you know, all that kind of good stuff.
Okay. And you could play Sabbath, you could play Bill Ward?
To the best that I can. I mean, right. I'm not Bill Ward, but yeah, I mean, you know, you do your best. But yeah, like I'm a good timekeeper, like I said, you know, and I love it and I've been doing it. I could jump back in, you know, after putting it down for a little bit. And I mean, I've had a kid, you know, I'm 53. So like my son's 23. So, you know,
have, like piercings and like tats on your face and stuff.
I don't have any. I will never put tats on my face or some parts of my body, but I am heavily tatted. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Good. You got the look for Hailstorm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on. Let's get your number. We got to use you for something.
Okay.
Your band. Okay.
Thanks.
All right.
Alrighty.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a great segment. It's usually you who will call in and get something out of Jimmy that no one expected to hear. So.
Right.
Let's do it. 203-882-9757. You can call or text. It's Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Morning.
Motley Crue announced a 2026 tour with Tesla and Extreme. I see some dates close to us, but nothing in Connecticut. Are we working on a date?
No, we're not. They played Mohegan Sun earlier this year, so...
That's it.
Not coming back.
Wow.
Wow.
Not even with that tour, which is it's kind of an exciting tour.
Yeah, it's good support. I agree. But they're trying not to replay markets they played in 25 back, gotcha. You know, next year.
Okay.
Been there, done that.
Metallica keeps coming up. And any news on that or progress?
No news. But I am hopeful we'll see them sometime next year in Connecticut.
Man.
Which I haven't said in a long time.
No, you haven't.
It's encouraging.
And I keep asking you about where, and it's Mohegan or Xfinity?
I would guess it's either Mohegan, Xfinity, or Rentschler Field, one of the three.
Wow.
We're talking about all possibilities. But we're talking. That's good.
That is amazing. Yeah.
Dialogue's been started.
There were people that weren't even born the last time they played Connecticut.
When was the last time they played?
1998.
Whoa.
Yes, 27. Next year will be 28 years.
AJ, we were 2 years into our run.
Yeah, it's true.
Wow.
I was so young back then. Oh, my
God. I had hair and everything.
Oh, my God. I just had a mustache for the first time
you're
in my
life. That's such a good way to put it. Like, a lot of people weren't even born.
Wow.
So, Vince, how old were you?
What year?
1998.
98. I was 11.
Wow.
Okay. Well, you didn't go see Metallica, did you?
No. No.
Exactly.
Nope.
Where did they play?
They play the Hartford Civic Center.
Wow.
Yeah. Tom, we had a lot of fun with them, and I got along with them great, and I haven't been able to bring them back in 26
years. Yeah, because they're just playing giant venues. Is that the issue?
Yeah.
Well, they're playing stadiums mostly now,
right.
And we didn't open up Rensselaer Field till this year, so the opportunity wasn't there. So now that the opportunity's there, I'm speaking to my friend Dennis, and we're trying to work it out. I was with Tom at Mohegan Sun yesterday. I know he was on the radio with you yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah. And we talked a little about Metallica, among many other things. We had a long meeting out there.
Like, what other things?
Oh, well, we talked about how good the restaurants are there. And
did you go to Mohegan for the lunch?
I went to Mohegan both Tuesday and Wednesday this week.
Oh.
I went Tuesday, had meetings with them. Was it Sting? And then Wednesday, went back up there again and had a meeting with their whole booking and box office staff.
Oh, wow.
Huh.
And went over a lot of shows that are on sale, ticket pricing, upcoming shows, things like that. A really good group meeting.
And then when you have lunch with Tom, is that you and him alone or with the whole crew?
No, it was me, Tom, Jeremy, who really books most of the shows, not me.
Your son.
My son, and yep. Joe Soper, who's a member of the Tribal Council, who used to be in the entertainment department, who's a good friend.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice.
So we had a wonderful lunch. It was great.
Nice.
What's on the wish list? Paul McCartney still comes up.
Oh, I thought you were talking about lunch, BLT.
Oh, yeah. I want a lunch. What'd you have? Anything good?
BLT, really? The BLT?
Yeah.
Where did you eat?
We ate at a place called The Shed out there, which is kind of cool. I'm a big fan of Bobby's Burgers out there. Bobby Flay's Burgers, I think it's
great. Oh, yeah. The Crunch Burger.
Yeah, they're just great, their burgers, but they didn't take me there, so.
Oh, damn it.
I was disappointed.
Let's all go.
Yeah, I'll meet you out there, no problem. AJ, I'll meet you there. I can get there by noon.
Nice.
Where are you guys at 11? You're somewhere at 11?
Yes, at 11, I'm at Smile Dental Center in Shelton. They're doing a food drive. We're raising food for the Spooner House. They help all kinds of people.
Oh,
and
they have
a kitchen in there, like the big giant pantry. And, so we're looking for turkeys, non-perishable food items, or cash.
No, very nice.
All three.
All right, we're getting some questions for Jimmy Coplick. Anything that will be announced soon that we could hint at now?
We have so many shows that we just announced this week that we're just, today I'm going to be up in Oakdale and we're going to try to put together next week's announcements. But this week we have so many shows going on sale, it's sort of crazy what we're doing. I don't really love putting so many shows on sale at once.
Not your thing.
No, we've got Cece Winans, which is a gospel show at Oakdale, Megan Trainor out at Mohegan, Parker McCollum in Bridgeport. We have Dayseeker, which is a hard rock band at the Dome in Oakdale. Weird Al at Mohegan Sun.
Weird Al, that's
Bridgeport.
Cool. So great.
And Lamb of God at Mohegan Sun.
Wait, who's at Bridgeport?
Weird Al. They're both at Mohegan Sun and Bridgeport.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh,
nice. Yeah, we don't do that often, but we're doing it this time.
Guess where I'm going.
we have Lamb of God at Mohegan Sun. We have Daniel Tosh at Oakdale, Celtic Women at Oakdale. So we have a ton of shows we're putting on sale tomorrow.
Celtic Women.
Yeah.
Wow. Sort of like cable.
Don't talk like that. I'll tell Jennifer.
You heard the tone.
Because I know the tone, okay? I have the same tone.
Ah, the gospel show sounds fun.
Yes, it is.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Like a revival.
Yeah, it's just what it is. You're right.
Yep. Did you see, and then I'm going to go to calls here and text for Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation. Did you see Dennis DeYoung going bananas on the Rock Hall of Fame? I know you're a voting member.
No, I didn't. And I am a Styx fan, and I'm a Dennis DeYoung Styx fan, too.
He's pissed, rightfully so.
Why is that?
Well, they're not in.
Oh, yes, they should be in. No, there's no doubt they should be in sticks. No doubt. I mean, although I put Jethro Tull on top, I think the biggest mistake is not having Jethro Tull in there.
Yeah, seriously.
Taking nothing away from Jay Giles or Styx.
Right.
Or other bands that should be in there, or other artists that should be in there. I just don't understand how Jethro Tull is not in there. And same with Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. I don't get how they're not in there either. They both invented a type of music that was very, very important.
Andre in Derby, what's your question for Jimmy Coplick?
So, Jimmy, I was watching an older video of Kiss on the reunion tour, and then Doc McGee was saying that what he was doing on that tour, he wanted to make sure that promoters really wanted them, and in order to do that, they had to show up in Kiss makeup. Did you have to do that to get Kiss?
Well, I got Kiss first, and then in order to attend the show, I had to do that. And
Oh my God! Wow. Where's the picture?
We need a picture.
Well, I might be able to find the picture, but I didn't put the makeup on. I actually bought a giant Gene Simmons pullover. It's not really a mask. It's rubber. It had his hair. It had his thing. And I wore that to the show. And I still wear it on Halloween.
I have an idea. If we could find this picture, we'll blow it up a little bit. We'll make some copies. You sign them. And we'll sell them at the toy drive.
Okay.
That's great.
I'll look for the
Kissmas.
Mask.
Oh,
yeah. Kissmas.
Yes.
Merry Kissmas.
Very nice.
Wow, great question, Andre. Thank you. I'm just looking at a picture of Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation, with Kiss backstage at the Meadows.
Awesome.
Yep.
Full makeup. You know, I pictured Gene being taller with those boots on.
Or me being shorter. I don't know which one you're saying. But
no, but they're all in platforms, and you know, you just picture the God of Thunder to be like 7 feet tall, and then with platforms, 8 feet tall.
Right.
And he's not that much taller than you. He's taller than you, and you're wearing sneakers.
Yeah, I'm wearing sneakers.
But not that much.
Right.
No, I wish I was wearing lifts.
And that's not, is that Peter Criss, or is that the, who is, no.
No, this is 2022.
Okay.
It looks like Peter Criss, doesn't it?
Right, he's got the makeup on.
Yeah.
He's got the makeup on. He looks like he's the same height as Peter Criss, too.
It looks like Peter Criss, but ate a lot. Like heavy Peter Criss.
Yeah, they fed
heavy,
the cat, yeah.
Heavy meat, too.
Peter Crisco.
Thank goodness for Ozempic.
Well, you're thinner now, but you don't look heavy in that picture.
No, I thank goodness for Ozempic. That's all I could
say. And look at all that chest hair on Ace Frehley. That guy's got some hair.
Yeah.
He's a real man.
He made a sweater.
He's the hairiest Kiss guy. Yeah, right. He never, like, you know, 70s, fine, 80s. Yeah, we're cleaning up a little bit. Never.
Right, trimming. Right.
Never trimmed.
Now you're waxed. Yep, now you're waxed.
He's the guy, he would show up, like, with a t-shirt, and the hair would be coming out saying hello.
Sticking out, yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it's like all curly and a tight shirt, like a box spring.
Okay, let's go to the phones for Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation. Greg and Wilkett.
Hey, guys. Hey, hi. Jimmy. Thanks for all the concerts over the years. I was wondering about the Glorious Sons.
The who?
The Glorious Sons.
The Glorious Sons.
They sing the sawed-off shotgun song is their big popular one.
Don't know them.
If that's their big popular song, they're in trouble.
Yep. Okay. Right.
Now I'm dying to hear it.
I don't know. You guys ever hear it?
My brain said The Who the same time Jimmy said The Who.
Right.
All right, this is
it. Now what I pictured.
No.
Picture the Southern drawl.
What is this? Is this country? You can't tell anymore. The lines are blurred.
They're Canadian. I know that.
Okay.
Canadian. Okay.
I sound like a good opener, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, I do like them, yeah. They fit on a lot of shows. Are they local?
They've got a lot of good songs.
No, I'll look into them.
Okay.
I'll figure out how to spell it. I don't know how to spell it.
All right, thank you, Greg.
Glorious Sons. I'm not sure.
The Glorious Sons.
All right,
all right, Greg, thank you. Mike in Southington.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Morning.
Question for you, Jimmy. Dave Matthews, is he going to be limited to the casino going forward, or are we having any shot of the good old outdoor days in Hartford?
We will have Dave at the Meadows in July.
At the Meadows.
Is restored.
How's that for service?
Ooh. Yep.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Wow. Cool.
I'm going to that. Did I tell you, Jimmy, many years ago at the beginning of the relationship with Jennifer, there were no Dave Matthews shows on the schedule. And so for like Christmas, I made this card with a picture of Dave. And I said, I owe you one experience at a Dave Matthews show. And never went.
Oh.
So this time when Dave from Riverview Bistro texted in question and you said, yeah, he's coming. I got a text from Jennifer, like, guess where we're going?
Yep. Got to honor it.
It'll be my first Dave Matthews show.
Got to love that Dave. He's a good friend.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Great friend.
Well, let me ask you, what would happen if I introduced Jennifer to Dave?
Boy.
That
would put me in a good place for a long time.
We'll have to work on that. Dave's a good guy. I'm sure I can get that together.
You know, I heard that bicycle story. He was riding his bicycle to a show. He got a flat tire, and a couple of people on the way to the concert picked him up and brought him there, and then he took very good care of them.
Whoa.
It's like, oh, yeah. Who rides a bicycle? Like, this guy, most people would be in a limo with a security guy.
Yeah. He's healthy.
Riding his bicycle to the show.
Right.
Get hit by a car.
On the nights that he played two or three nights at the Meadows, he would sleep in the bus backstage instead of going to a hotel.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah, roughing it. Cool.
If you were sitting backstage and having dinner by yourself, he'd sit down next to you so you don't have dinner by yourself.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the type of guy he is.
What a man, that's so rare, you know?
That's usually me.
You know, the thing I'm afraid of most at this show is getting a contact high.
Why would you be afraid?
Why would you be afraid of that?
Well, yeah. Thank you, Jimmy.
It's part of the fun.
Weed,
yeah.
The weed is a lot different. And then I get high and I laugh and then I get paranoid. And I'm afraid like halfway through the concert, I'm going to get paranoid.
Yeah, but the music's real. It's a hiddly baby. It's real chill. You're good.
You're paranoid about being paranoid.
Yeah, I'm paranoid right now. So what's the difference?
Yeah. Just go with it, man. Just go with it.
Yeah. Live Nation's Jimmy Koplik. Remember the days the lights would go down in the show, Jimmy, and then you would see all the lighters spark up?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yep. Yeah.
And then people you never even met, they're handing you joints. This is way before COVID. We're like, yeah, of course, I'm going to smoke off of every joint that comes by my way.
Exactly.
Could be dipped in embalming fluid. You don't even know.
And then you get the person who lips the joint. It's like, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
this is way.
The worst.
Yeah, put the fingers.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, now you can bring your own.
Nice.
Right. And it's legal.
Right.
It's legal. And in Bridgeport, we actually sell it.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, we actually can order it in advance. We have a stand there. And if you call this company up, Butter, it's called BUDR. And if you order it in advance, you can pick it up at the show.
That is cool.
That service.
Yep.
What a time we live in now.
I mean, you can't go up and buy it because that's illegal. But you can order it in advance and then pick it up at the show.
I love it.
That's amazing.
That's great.
We're getting lots of texts and calls for Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation, 203-882-9757. John in Monroe.
Hey, good morning, guys. Southeast in Bridgeport. It was awesome. Jimmy, I'm wondering if you ever heard of a band called F.A.T. Betty, Fat Betty. They're on YouTube a lot. They do a lot of rock and roll covers, and they have some original tunes, but they're really awesome. I mean, like, totally.
No, I haven't, but I like Gloria Sun, so I maybe I'll like Fat Betty. As a band.
I think if you check them out, man, they're really good. They do like Led Zeppelin, Steely Dan, and they hit it right on the head.
Man. I love this guy's voice. Can he sing your mean one, Mr. Grinch?
Yeah, right.
Hey,
John, you should come by the toy drive and do the Grinch.
That sounds good.
So, Jimmy, you can't, like, I mean, you could, but you don't typically hear a band say, that's a great band, let me call them. I mean, they reach out to you and say, we're coming through, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's how it is now. In the old days, I was able to put opening acts on shows. I put the old bands from the 70s onto shows, you know, Fat up in Springfield, Eyes, Fountainhead.
Fountainhead.
You know, all the great local bands I was able to put on shows.
The Sims Brothers.
Sims Brothers. Yeah. They actually won a PLR contest for us back in the 70s for the best local band. Sims Brothers.
Sims Brothers, they were great. NRBQ. Yeah.
NRBQ.
Yeah.
Those days are long gone. Now artists bring their own opening acts on. I'm unable to do that.
Well, you put together the best triple bill in the history of the world. Watkins Glen.
Yes, Watkins Glen. That's true.
It doesn't get any better than that one.
And I did put that one together. Even though I did originally put Leon Russell on, not the band, and Jerry Garcia complained to me about it. Why'd you choose Leon Russell? I said, well, I thought his music sort of went with the Grateful Dead and the Allman Brothers. It made sense to me. Well, we're up in upstate New York, and that's the home of the band. I said, well, they haven't toured in years. Jerry said, I'll call Robbie Robertson. I said, okay, if you want to call Robbie Robertson, call him. He calls Robbie Robertson. I get a call from his manager, Albert Grossman. We want to be on Watkins Glen. So I had to pay Leon Russell $35,000 not to play and instead put the band on the show.
Oh, man, but that was the best $35,000 you ever spent.
Yeah, the band fit much better, no question.
Wow.
Yeah, I agree.
Wow.
Cool.
But
that's
it was those
nuts.
Are the days when I could put shows together.
How old were you then when that came together?
23.
AJ,
oh, my God.
Can you imagine being 23, like, hey, man, I love the Dead.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I could tie my shoes back then.
I love the Allman Brothers. Yeah. They were great together in Hartford. Let's do something with them.
Yeah. Just, I know.
It all happened at Dillon Stadium in Hartford when the Allmans and the Dead played together in 72. We had a Dead show, and the Allmans came up from New York, and they played together, and they were so awesome jamming together that that's where it came to mind.
But so the Allmans weren't scheduled? They just came, and they were like, hey, we want to go on?
Yeah, J-Mo, Dickey, and Barry Oakley came up from the Bronx. They were playing a venue called Gaelic Park the next day, and they wanted to come up and see the Dead, and they had never played with the Dead before. And so we got a car and brought them up, and they jammed for a few songs after at the end of the show, and it was very magical. And back when I was 23 years, I was 22 then. A lot of things were magical at 22.
Mm.
And I went to them afterwards and said, why don't we put you guys together on a show? And that's how Watkins Glen all started.
Amazing. Wow. Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation on the show, and I just want to play a few seconds of this song to set up what Jimmy Koplik is about to tell you. Jimmy?
They are great.
They are so great.
We are opening up some production holds for Rush at Mohegan Sun both nights, and we are going to put them on sale at 10 a.m. this morning.
Okay, nice. An hour from now, hour 10, production hold tickets for Rush. So these are generally held for friends and family and VIPs.
And the stage. We got the stage set up over the weekend. They sent us what their stage is going to look like. So we were able to, what we call a CAD drawing, we were able to put it down on the floor, and we saw that we could open up some good seats.
Ooh. All right, so today at 10 a.m., some production hold tickets for Rush at Mohegan Sun go on sale. Today at 10 a.m. And where do you go for that? Just LiveNation.com?
Yeah, LiveNation.com, Ticketmaster, whatever.
Okay. Wow, that's exciting.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's, man, we're so lucky to get that band in this state on their 50-something anniversary tour.
I wish I was 50-something.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Got a lot of texts to ask you about. Lori from Stanford's been holding forever. Go ahead, Lori.
Hey, how are you, Jimmy? Thank you for so many years of great shows.
Here, here.
We're wondering about Iron Maiden on this epic tour. I've been waiting for this tour for years. Is it coming to Connecticut by any chance?
No, it's not, I'm afraid. Nope. I try every year, and they keep turning me down.
Okay. Well, thank you for the update.
Okay.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Don't run me off the road. I live in Stanford also.
Okay.
Got my eyes on you.
Hey, beep your horn. Let's see if Jimmy could hear it from his house. Oh, yeah. You're driving right by his house right now.
Right on Long Ridge Road. I hear you. Right on Long Ridge Road.
Okay, wait.
Get
up
by Lori.
Hi, Lori. Thank you.
Nice.
Vinny from Wallingford wants to know about Megadeth or Clutch.
We are talking about Megadeth maybe coming to Mohegan Sun sometime next year.
Just don't show them that Metallica signature backstage. You have to cover that up.
Ooh, yeah.
Put tape Dave Mustaine he's not over it yet.
Yeah, no.
He'll never be over it.
No.
Mike from Old Saybrook, Deep Purple.
Working on a show with Mohegan Sun.
Whoa. See, this is why we rely on you to ask these questions.
Results.
Great questions.
Results.
Yep, and trying to get Kansas on the show, make it a double bill.
Ooh.
Wow. Ooh.
Alter Bridge.
Alter Bridge probably at either Toad's or the Dome at Oakdale in April or May.
Tristan and Shelton wants to know about Larry Fleet.
Don't know who that is.
Me neither. Sorry.
I know Larry Flint. He's dead.
Right. He will not be performing in Connecticut this year.
But he sure did perform when he was young.
He performed.
Right. Yeah, Ouija board.
Tristan and Shelton. Oh, no, I already read that one. Ian in Stratford wants to know about Phish this summer.
Right now, no dates planned in Connecticut, but I'll never say never because we are good friends with them and fingers crossed. But right now, no dates planned.
Cindy wants to know about Rob Zombie or the Struts.
Rob Zombie's not playing Connecticut, which is very disappointing because he was a resident of Connecticut for 20 years. And
Keith chased him out.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like he's going to play Connecticut this run.
Do you know what happened with our boss and Rob Zombie?
No.
Rob Zombie had a house in Woodbury, Connecticut, and right outside the house, not too far away, was a skate park. And they would skate all hours of the night and get a little loud, and Rob Zombie started complaining about it. And Keith, our commander, was running an internet magazine at the time while running these stations. And that internet magazine made a whole thing about Rob Zombie complaining about skateboarders. So Rob Zombie sells the house, moves, and I think gives the big middle finger to Keith anytime he drives through Connecticut.
He does. He does. I've seen it. Yeah. I've seen it.
I guess we'll never hear Rob Zombie on BLR, will we? Right.
Thanks, Keith.
Kate from Monroe, the Eagles.
Eagles have finally finished their Sphere announcements, which is March. My understanding is they will play stadiums this summer, next summer, I guess it is. And if so, we'll try to get a Rensselaer date.
Eugene from North Haven, quote, just wanted to let Jimmy know that if he was responsible for bringing Dave Matthews to the Meadows in August 2007, I went to see that show while in high school and ended up meeting my wife, so thank you.
Oh, I was waiting for I Want My Money Back. That's a good thing.
I'll find you.
I couldn't get in. There's traffic or something. Well, that's great. Well, hopefully you'll see him in July this year and celebrate your 19th anniversary.
Oh, wow. Life. Man, math. Yep. This guy's good at math, AJ.
Yeah, I suck at it.
That's one thing I am good at. Nothing else but math.
What's the status of the Watkins Glen documentary? That's Monique in North Haven.
We just hired a new director, and he is going over all the films, and we are going out and pitching for more money right now. Starting in January, we'll be pitching for more money to finish it up.
All right, we'll take one more call. John in Stratford.
Hey.
Hi.
How you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Good.
The band President, they're a pretty new one. I know they're performing in New York next month. Do you know if they're going to be coming to Connecticut anytime soon?
Not that I know of, no.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Thank you for holding for so long. Jimmy, thank you so much, brother.
You got it, guys.
Yeah. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too.
Yes.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.